So what we're going to do, since until it catches up to us. There we go.
There we go.
Okay. So my job is to talk to you here in the beginning just about one slide, and I'm going to actually be brief, and then I'll come back and I'll talk longer. So you didn't think you were getting away that easy, did you? Just as a refresher, when we did the Vision 2020 campaign about 2 years ago, we had five main objectives. They're in rank order. The number one objective is to work with our existing companies to make sure they're healthy and growing and successful. The second is to bring in new companies to augment our economic base here in the community. Third is to resolve issues that impede growth. That would be things like Highway 30. Fourth, communicate with all stakeholders. Elevate the communication from the CRDC to not just our investors, but to all stakeholders. And then also, finally, enhance organizational readiness. Go ahead, Jim. And I'm going to turn it over to Andy, since our number one objective is existing industry, and he's going to give you an update.
All right. As many of you know, that I am short on words, so I will keep this brief. Our existing industry activities consist of the following. So far, since I was hired in January 2016, we've done 17 value visits. Doesn't seem like a great number, but the value visits consist of a 7-page questionnaire and 38 questions that go with that questionnaire. They've revealed a lot to us over the last year. We've heard about great company successes, also about some possible pitfalls moving forward. One of those things has been the lack of broadband availability within some sectors of our region. Both myself and partnership, the City of Clinton and the City of Comanche, are going to be engaging in conversations to try to rectify that. That is a great result and a great example of our existing industry visits. Technical assistance projects. How do you define a technical assistance project? A business has a problem, I solve it. That's technical assistance right there. For instance, we serve the region across the river. Agri King, Terry Callahan, gave me a call one day and said, Andy, I'm having a hard time getting our utility provider to come out here and put in a transformer so I can actually plug something into the socket and move forward in an expansion that we're trying to create here. Can you speed it up a little bit? One phone call, 48 hours later, it was fixed. Now, that's not me knowing how to install a transformer. That's me knowing the right people to call. And that's essentially what I do. I build up a great database of contacts, and I try to pursue those at all possible. 75 total company interactions. What's a company interaction? Whether it's at a coffee shop, Hy-Vee, Eagle River Liquor over in wherever you may be. If I see you and I know that you're a member of our existing industry and we have a conversation, expect me to engage in a dialogue of how are you doing? How's the business growing? How's your workforce development? Let's talk about this, to be followed up with the exchange of a business card and hopefully a meeting set. Two quarterly value spotlight awards presented. Air Control Inc. received our first ever spotlight award as an impact award for 60 years in service. We followed that award up with ADM. They got an award for their generosity and philanthropic efforts within the community. And then that was followed up with our industry of the year, which was LyondellBasell for their $50+ million investment in the community and their administration center. Our first quarter award for innovation is going to be announced here in the coming weeks. Covered that. If you flip to the back of that page, you will see that. So the last time I was here and I spoke, the actual 7-page document that I take into a survey is called a synchronous survey. Well, that doesn't sound very attractive, right? So we renamed it Value Survey, because that's all about the only reason I exist is to offer value to our existing businesses. And that is an acronym for visitation, acknowledging their successes, listening to their complaints, taking it back to my office and utilizing the information, as well as engaging the community, just like we're doing right now with the presentation to City Council. We have an industry services index that's being created right now. That's going to be a list of our existing businesses here. Mike and Janelle will use that as part of their attraction efforts. When a business is looking to locate to our region, we can show them, here's the existing businesses that we have, and maybe you'll have the opportunity to partner with them moving forward. Also, many businesses, when they're determining a site location, will pick up the phone and call one of our existing industries and ask that plant manager, ask that human resource director, is Clinton a business-friendly community? We want that answer to be, obviously, yes. And I'm working on new BRE program materials moving forward. Some of those materials include the value card, which you'll see depicted here on your sheet, as well as a piece that I forgot to bring, but I will hand out at a later date, that kind of highlights me as a business retention and expansion specialist. One of the things we want to avoid doing as the CRDC continues to seek out outside investment to support our efforts is have me be that person that's asking for the investment. I am only there free at no cost to those businesses to provide a service, and that service is to help them grow and expand. Am I done with my section there? One more?
Nope.
Okay, moving on to project trends, and Janelle will come up.
Mayor, Council, good evening. So I'm here tonight to talk about our second strategy, which is business recruitment. So on the bar chart that you see there, these are the projects that we've worked on in the past 3 years that Mike and I have been here. As you can see, we're on a good trend line, so hopefully that will continue this year. If you move to the next page, thank you. These are the projects worked in 2016. There were a total of 47 projects, and 30 of those were new in the door. So if we look at the first pie chart, we look at project source. Our largest source of project leads comes from our partnership with the Quad Cities First. They are one of our regional partners, and they have been a good one at bringing us new projects to work on. And then the second one from there is direct contact, people who contact our office directly. And then state partners, whether it be the state of Illinois, state of Iowa, and then down the list from there. The second chart is project sector. By and large, our biggest sector that we see coming in is manufacturing, followed by logistics, value-added ag, all things that are in our targeted industries, which Mike's going to cover in a bit. So a little bit about 2017. So far this year, we've had six new projects in the first 2 months of the year. The sources of those are... So one project came from two sources, from the state of Illinois and from the state of Iowa. So I gave them a half. So the Quad Cities First got 3.5 projects, one directly to our office, and the state organizations had 1.5 projects. So that's a little odd, but made sense to me. The source or the sector of those is manufacturing. There were three, one in logistics, one in food processing, and one in biotechnology. So I think we're about 20% of the way through the year, six projects, 30 new projects. Look like we're on a pretty good even keel from last year. So that's it for me. I'm going to invite Mike back up to continue business recruitment.
So some of the things we were involved in this last year, you know, we've talked about our targeted sectors. One of them is value-added agriculture and food and beverage processing. And the IFT trade show is International Food Technologists. And that's right within that wheelhouse. That's one reason we were at IFT last year. We'll be at IFT again this year. The German-American Business Forum is an event that we persuaded the state to co-sponsor with us over in Frankfurt. We are glad to have that partnership with the state. This year, our German marketing is going to be primarily through domestic marketing with the German-American Chamber of Commerce in Chicago. And then finally, consular office visits. About 18 months ago, the Quad City First Group brought in 12 consular officials from the consulates in Chicago, hosted them for tours around the region, and we also hosted them, the mayor and our staff and others, hosted them for Lumber Kings ball game. And so these visits were last summer, following up on their visit to our region. I went and visited with them in their offices. And this is important because... Go ahead and click, Andy. The Darren Bulow runs the site selection office for Deloitte in Chicago. And according to Darren, at last year's Site Selectors Guild meeting, he said Germany's expected to provide the most foreign direct investment in the U.S. in the next 3 years. So that's why we're pursuing a German foreign direct investment strategy, and also because we have a German company here. So. I would mention, too, you know, one of the challenges that Germany has is they're producing so much and there's so much trade imbalance between Germany and the United States. They want to have production over here, so they're doing less conversion between currencies, between the euro and the dollar. So that's a big factor for them looking for sites in the U.S. I mentioned the Site Selectors Guild in Darren's comment. The Site Selectors Guild is the association of professionals who help companies choose locations around the country for new facilities. The Site Selectors Guild itself is the association of the leading site selectors in the U.S. And so the guild meetings are important meetings to be at. Last year I was with them at their annual meeting in Nashville and again persuaded the state to join us and be on our marketing team. So I took with me Steve Shupp from Alliant Energy as one of my team members and Debbie Durham from IEDA as one of my marketing team members. And Then the next event was in San Francisco with Governor Branstad calling on firms out in California and site selectors in California. Finally, we did a site selector FAM visit in the back office sector. Jim Beatty is a site selector in back office, and he's working with Quad Cities First to market available site back office properties in the Quad Cities region, including the Clinton region. And so we brought him up to show him the Tech Park, and we showed him the Ashford University campus, and we showed him what at the time was an available building out at the Tech Park, which is now filled. So, but we continue to work with Jim to recruit back office companies here. You all know that we've been doing business recruitment or business recruitment research, rather, looking at our targeted sectors, and that starts with a competitive base analysis, understanding not just the Clinton region, but a broader region beyond that, because buyer-supplier relationships extend beyond our little six-county region. And so we took a hard look for several months at that competitive base, and we looked at things like nodes of transportation, workforce skills, costs of doing business like utility costs or like taxation, and a variety of other factors from a site selection perspective. And on that basis, then identified the targeted sectors that we talked about, one of which earlier. But the top three there in the green top of the pyramid, chemicals processing, metal fab, and value-added ag, are our three main sectors. And then at the top of the yellow part of the pyramid, administrative back office is the fourth sector that we're pursuing. All told, this research that's here, $65,000 for the competitive base analysis and the target industry identification. And then, go ahead and click, Andy. And then additional costs per sector as we did sector-specific research. Go ahead, Andy. So these are the sectors that we're pursuing, and we were pleased to have a grant from the CCDA last year to help pay for that value-added ag food and beverage processing sector study. So this is the kind of thing that we did. This is an example of chemicals processing. So we took a project that actually occurred in each of these sectors, and we applied the costs associated with that project to competing areas that have concentrations of those industries in neighboring states. And so you can see here the communities that we looked at for chemicals processing: Peoria, Illinois; Akron, Ohio; Kalamazoo, Michigan; Springfield, Missouri; Evansville, Indiana; Joliet, Illinois. Number one in the ranking was Clinton, but by a narrow margin. Our next closest competitor, if you look at the bar chart over the stacked bars, is the total costs. Our next closest competitor, I believe, was Peoria, Illinois. And we were separated from them by about $170,000 in costs. So, when we say $170,000savings in the first year to over $4 million in the first year, that's really how do you compare it to the most competitive community and the least competitive community, which, by the way, was Joliet, Illinois. So, but that's an example of, and we have sector studies in each of the four sectors at a total cost for each of those between $15,000 and $18,000 each. So about $100,000 in research so that we understand our market and we can better sell and target our sales to sectors that we can win, that we're best positioned to win in competing. We talked about resolving impediments to growth. Obviously, we're working really hard to lobby and advocate for Highway 30 expansion. There's a public meeting over in Morrison Thursday night for folks to come in and talk about expansion of Highway 30 on the Illinois side. 84% of that highway is four lanes between Chicago and Boone, Iowa. There's only 16% left to build. So we're pushing really hard to get both Illinois officials and Iowa officials on board to get this highway finished so that we can begin to see some economic benefit from the expansion of the highway. And then also, Janelle worked really hard this last year to attain rail park site certification. Go ahead and click, Andy. And that was in December. Go ahead. Investor and public relations activities. As I mentioned, the next meeting is March 9th. I think I said 7. It's actually 7:30. And then, of course, we've put together all of these strategies to communicate with you, to communicate with our other stakeholders and investors. And we will continue to do that this year. Go ahead, Andy. We established a new committee structure because we had board members who I think felt a little bit disconnected because a lot of the action goes on at the executive committee. So Andy runs our workforce committee and also our existing industry committee. Janelle runs marketing and PR as well as property. So we've encouraged our board members to be on those committees, but we would encourage you all, if you have an interest in any of those subjects, you're welcome to join those committees because you don't just have to be a board member. And in fact, you don't necessarily have to be an investor because we want talent around the table from the community. We are now the only accredited economic development organization in the state of Iowa, I believe also Illinois, since we crossed the river. And there are 53 around the country. When we received our accreditation back in September, we received it with folks like Kansas City Power and Light, St. Paul, Minneapolis-St. Paul, and others. So that's who we're now being compared against in terms of the work that we do. And we're also an IEDC Economic Development Research Partner, which means we're a part of the think tank for economic development for the profession. One thing we're going to be doing in the coming year with that particular group, each year they do a large research paper and a couple small research papers. And the large research paper this year, where the working title is Business Retention and Expansion 2.0. So it's advanced approaches to existing industry work. And we believe we have some cutting edge stuff going on right here in Clinton that we'll be highlighting in that publication that is distributed internationally. Go ahead, Andy. I'm going to ask Andy to talk to you for just a little bit about home base Iowa, and then I'll come back and give you a quick update on where we are in Ashford.
All right, home base Iowa. This is something I'm very passionate about. So this is was a combined efforts between the governor and Adjutant General Tim Orr to discuss how do we attract the 200,000 plus veterans that are transitioning out of the military every single year. These are capable individuals with a good work ethic and a unique skill set. What can we do to bring them here? Home Base Iowa was created as a result of that conversation. What we have done in becoming a Home Base Iowa community, the city of Clinton as well as the fellow municipalities within Clinton County have developed their set of incentives in order to attract those veterans here. City Administrator Matt Brook has just taken advantage of, he's dropping the coin that I gave him for Home Base Iowa. I don't know if you what that means, but he'll explain it at a later date. So one of the things that he's going to be able to take advantage of not only is the county incentives, which include $1,500 of closing assistance towards the sale of your first home in the state of Iowa or Clinton County, as well as $275 a night up to two nights per diem for when you came here for an interview. Also, if you had an entrepreneurial spark, the county would waive a portion of the business fees. What the city of Clinton is offering is a 50% tax abatement for 3 years. Those are huge incentives when you think about that. Also, the state of Iowa does not tax your military pension. That's huge. They don't tax your military pension. Plus, if you use a specific lender, they'll give you $5,000 of closing assistance towards the sale of your home. So you're talking about $6,500 in closing allowance you get, just for moving as a veteran to the state of Iowa, relocating within Clinton County. That's great. And I'm excited to see that both Matt, as well as City Administrator down in Comanche, Andrew Keita, had the opportunity recently to take advantage of these incentives. That's a program that continues to grow. We're going to start doing some outreach where we're going to go out and leverage some grants that are available through ECIA to go out to military bases within about a 12-hour radius of Clinton County and try to hand out material and attract those veterans here. I don't care where you go in the United States, every person you speak to is going to say, we have a workforce problem. Okay? Everybody has a workforce problem. They're all scratching and clawing to not only get that talent, but also retain them. Again, 200,000 plus veterans transitioning out of the military every year, and they're looking for a place to call home. Why not Clinton, Iowa? If you have any questions on Home Base Iowa, you know where to find me.
So two things before I talk with you about Ashford. One, everything he just said, Andy's done a great job with Home Base Iowa. I think it's important to know because recognizing that we have people that are watching us on TV as well, this program is not just for recently separated veterans, recent departures from the military. It's any veteran who relocates to Clinton County. And so, I think we have a real opportunity here to capitalize. This is an advantage for us, not just from a workforce perspective, as Andy pointed out, because we all know how good a job the military does in training their workforce and what dedication they bring to the job, what understanding they have about how to accomplish the job. We know that veterans are good workers. But beyond that, this is a population opportunity for us. Because of some of the assets that Andy talked about, the fact that Iowa doesn't tax your pension, I mean, veterans should be coming to Iowa. And this is an opportunity for us to reverse that population trend that we've seen. I think we ought to try to find some way to, you know, encourage veterans to come in and renovate the homes in the center part of the community. just a thought. So anyway, to Ashford, let me just caveat this by saying, If at some point you'd like me to come back and give you a more detailed presentation about Ashford, I'd be happy to do that. Recognizing that we're short on time, I'm just going to give you kind of a quick update of where we are right now. So we are working with the Prager Company out of Evanston, Illinois, Metro Chicago. They're the same group that did our target industry studies, top shelf economic development consulting firm. Adam Prager led the community consulting practice for Deloitte up until a few years ago. And so he went out and started his own company, is doing really well. He brought to the table a woman named Claire Mignogna. Claire is an expert in STEM education. Claire, former CEO of Chicago Public School System from some time back, but she has started 7 STEM academies around the country. She is an internationally acclaimed expert in STEM, travels internationally frequently on this topic. And so we're very fortunate to have both of them at the table helping us with our phase 2 research project. So we did a phase 1 research project, which we finished last year, kind of a preliminary project making the case for the academy to help us sell it at the state. Our phase 2 project that we're working on now, which, by the way, $150,000 project, $120,000 of which was funded by the CCDA, and we're deeply appreciative of that. This project is focused on a number of different deliverables, looking at things like a market study to make the case that the population is there for the students at the academy, both in Iowa and outside of Iowa, and looking at best practices around the country. The two leading models for STEM academies around the country are the one in North Carolina and then the Illinois Math and Science Academy in Aurora, Illinois, just an hour and a half east of here. And the Illinois Academy has been there since the early 90s. They 45% of their teachers are PhDs. And so this is really a college-level education program for high school students. The program is residential, sophomore through senior year in college, competitive applications in the freshman year in school. And they have annually a waiting list. Annually, they turn a great number of applicants away because they won't even fit on the waiting list. So there is demand in excess of supply an hour and a half away. So this academy would be focused on Iowa students. The intention would be to provide this education free of charge to Iowa students. Funding for education for Iowa students right now is around $6,700 a year. This is to the tune of about $20,000 a year total cost per student. But the idea is to provide it free of charge to Iowa students. And partially that would be underwritten in a variety of ways. Number one, of course, as students come from around Iowa, they're bringing with them that $6,700, right? But in addition to that, we're looking at funding from corporations around the state who will utilize these STEM-talented individuals, and also foundation financing, philanthropic financing, and then utilizing income from some of these out-of-state, out-of-country students. So there would be tuition for kids who come from out of state. Just talked with a guy this morning who's familiar with Wisconsin educational system. There is not such a school in Wisconsin. So potentially it's an opportunity for us. The Illinois situation is an opportunity for us. Maybe there's an opportunity for us to bring students from Minnesota. But I think Illinois is a great opportunity because 75% of the kids at the Illinois Math and Science Academy are from the Chicago Metro. And so they're waitlisted. A lot of them are coming from the Chicago Metro. We're an hour and a half further west. Great opportunity. They pay tuition. They come here. They stay here. And it does a couple of things for us for a state. Number one, it staunches to some degree the brain drain that we've heard about among leaders in the state, that we've got our best and brightest go to other states and go to school. Number two, not only does it reduce that, but it also brings additional talented individuals in from out of state and from out of the country, and buttressing that retention of the brains. So all that being said, in addition to out of state students, we are also talking with the Chinese, because they are seeking to send their kids abroad to study, particularly focused on the U.S. They believe the U.S. has the best education system in the world. And they also believe that if you graduate from a U.S. high school, you have a better chance of getting into a U.S. college. And so the upper middle class in China, which, by the way, the total population of upper middle class in China is about the total population of the United States because of the number of people there, they're sending their kids abroad. And they're especially interested in sending their kids to the United States. This is the sort of thing that they routinely today pay $40,000 to $60,000 a year to send their kids to this kind of a program. And so you wonder, how are we going to underwrite the cost for Iowa students? Well, there's how we're going to do it, that and tuition from kids from other states. So we are pursuing this $150,000 project. It's projected to be complete in September. We have had extensive discussions with both the governor, the lieutenant governor, the STEM council, and other senior leaders in the administration in Iowa. We believe it's a perfect time with the governor becoming ambassador to China. If there's a stronger supporter for STEM in the state than Governor Branstad, it would be Lieutenant Governor Reynolds. So the fact that she's stepping into the governorship, that's another great opportunity for us. And so we believe the time is right. The only thing that makes the time not right is the budget situation with the state of Iowa. And we had made a request from them from the current budget year and the budget they've been working on for next year. And, you know, you can't very well start a new education initiative while you're cutting other aspects of education. And we recognize that. And so probably what the ownership is going to do with the campus is move forward with some sort of educational offering, potentially for maybe out-of-country students, international students, as a means to generating revenue while we wait for the state of Iowa to be able to join us as a partner. And so that's where we're headed at the moment. Again, I'd be happy to come back, give you a more detailed kind of overview of where we've been, how we got to where we are, and where we're headed. But again, in light of time, I'd be happy to answer questions if you have them. If not, if you're interested, we can certainly schedule a time for me to come back. Great. Thank you all so much for your time for us this evening.
I got one question before.
Yes, sir.
When you talked about project leads, we've had a broker for almost 18 months. How many leads have come from the broker?
We have gotten no leads from the broker. However, what I can tell you is that right now we're working with a project in the bioscience space, Project Greenhouse. We had them in town visiting last week for 3 days, and Charlie was along with us on the visit to, they're evaluating a location at the rail park and also a location at Crossroads Logistics, and Charlie was involved in that site visit, and as I understand it from Janelle, he's working on some follow-up research as a part of that site visit, so he is helping us with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
How much have we paid out for the broker?
I haven't paid anything out for the broker. So, other questions, any? Great. Again, thank you so much for your time. You've been very generous this evening and for your support and your involvement.